Exodus chapter 26. Exodus chapter 26. I'd like for us to read verse number 30, please. Exodus chapter 26. We are studying the book of Exodus, and we are up to that little section dealing with the tabernacle, that place of worship for God's people on their way to the promised land. And let's read Exodus chapter 26, verse number 30. It reads, "And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we pray that you would teach us now from your precious word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Once again, God makes it very clear to his people that he wants this structure called a tabernacle to be built a certain way. And there was a reason for that, because as we have stressed in the past, every part of the tabernacle points to the Lord Jesus Christ, in some way, in his person and his work. And this includes the structure of the tabernacle, the actual bodily structure of the tabernacle. And here in Exodus chapter 26, this chapter deals with the structure of the tabernacle proper. Within the courtyard, there is the tabernacle, and this chapter deals with that structure. From verses 1 to 14 of chapter 26, it deals with the covering or the roofing of the tabernacle. And then verses 15 to 30 deals with the framework of the tabernacle. What was it made out of? And then last but not least, verses 31 to 37 deal with the veils of the tabernacle. There were two veils within this tabernacle structure. This structure held within it the possibility of fellowship with God and experiencing God's presence. The holy place, the initial section, fellowship, communion with God. The Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. So what we see without is very important, because it reflects and it teaches us concerning what is within. Now, as a way of application, God dwells within the life of every Christian. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that your body, my body, if you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the tabernacle of God. We are called to glorify God in our bodies, in this temple, this earthly tabernacle, so to speak. And this is important to God. It's important to him because we are to reflect God's glory within this body of ours. And just like the outer structure of the tabernacle points to what is within the tabernacle, the outward gives us an indicator of what is within, so likewise your life, my life, outwardly, what people see on the outside, that which is visible to the world, should point men, women, and children to what we have within, which is a personal relationship with the God of the heavenlies. And we know the reality of God's presence. I was struck by that thought. In the early hours of Thursday morning, the good Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock. And the benefit of that little session was the Lord confirmed to me what to preach this morning at Evangel. number one, and the Lord impressed upon my heart concerning the fact this outward structure of the tabernacle was important because it was an indicator of what was within the tabernacle. And so likewise, your life outwardly, my life outwardly, should reflect that which we have within, which I trust you do, a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know the reality of His presence. Let me ask you this evening, does your exterior, what people see, what people hear, give evidence that you have the life of Jesus Christ within? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible reads, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, man only sees the outward, but God sees the heart. If we have a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, it will be evident without. And it struck me in those early hours of the morning that that's it. That's it. That's why God places an emphasis on the structure and devotes a whole chapter to the structure. Because the outward structure gives us some insight, reflects what is within. And so your life, my life, should give evidence of that which is within. And I trust that you do have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I trust that you do know of the reality of His presence. So this evening, let's study the tabernacle structure and see how it points to Jesus Christ. And may the overall structure of our lives point people to Jesus Christ. Keep your finger there in Exodus chapter 26 and turn with me to John chapter 12 for a moment. I'd like to just read two verses out of John chapter 12. The Gospel of John chapter 12. In verses 20 and 21, it reads, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. Good old C.H. Spurgeon of old, on his pulpit, he had engraved, Sir, we would see Jesus. And his passion was that every time he preached the Word of God, the people would see Jesus Christ. Do people see Jesus Christ in your life? Well, your outward is the only part of you that people can see. Does that reflect the life of Christ? That's the core lesson from the structure of the tabernacle. I'd like for us to take a moment, and I'd like to just invite you to join with me in watching a little 3D presentation of the tabernacle structure. Now, as we watch, you can follow along in your Bible. The presenter will read Exodus chapter 26 from verse 1 until the end of the chapter. And he'll read it from the King James Bible, God's Word. And so you'll get an overall understanding of the temple structure as he reads through this chapter. It'll only take about 6 or 7 minutes. And it will give you an idea of the temple structure, and I trust it will put us in good stead for the remainder of the sermon. Now, the ushers will take care of the lights, so you'll actually be able to see the presentation. Thank you. Exodus chapter 26.
Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work shall thou make them. The length of 1 curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, and the breadth of 1 curtain, 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have 1 measure. The five curtains shall be coupled together one to another, and other five curtains shall be coupled one to another. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain, from the selvage in the coupling. And likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of another curtain, in the coupling of the second, 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tatches, and it shall be one tabernacle. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair, to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. And the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and shalt double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of brass, and put the tatches into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle, and a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent. It shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side, to cover it. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering above of badger's skins. And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood, standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of one board. 2 tenons shall there be in one board, set in order one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards on the south side southward. And thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make 6 boards. And 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides. And they shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above the head of it, unto one ring. Thus shall it be for them both. They shall be for the 2 corners. And they shall be 8 boards, and their sockets of silver 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards on the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the 2 sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the boards shall reach from end to end. And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold, and make their rings of gold for places for the bars, and thou shalt overlay the bars with gold. And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof which was showed thee in the mount. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen of cunning work, with cherubims shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon the 4 pillars of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, upon the 4 sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tatches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And thou shalt set the table without the veil, and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle, towards the south. And thou shalt put the table on the north side. And thou shalt make an hanging for the door of the tent, of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen, wrought with needlework. And thou shalt make for the hangings 5 pillars of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and thou shalt cast 5 sockets of brass for them.
I'm not sure what happened to the text. There was a text on there when I originally recorded it. But anyway, you heard the text and you read the text. So we have within this chapter, Exodus chapter 26, the structure of the tabernacle. And as I've already mentioned, and as our presenter illustrated for us, the roof of the tabernacle, which takes us from verses 1 to 14 of Exodus chapter 26, there were 4 layers of material that covered the tabernacle. Each of these materials focused on our Lord Jesus in some way. These 4 layers were laid one on top of another. And they are presented within these verses from the inside out. So as you walk into the tabernacle, the scriptures give us the layer from within all the way to the exterior. Now the first covering is spelled out there in verse number 1 of chapter 26. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains, 10 pieces of curtains, of fine twine linen, white material, with blue, purple, and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. So this first covering was the only one visible within the tabernacle. As you entered the holy place and even the holies of holies, this is the only covering that was visible. It was a covering made of fine twine linen, white, embroidered with blue, purple, and scarlet. It was beautifully embroidered into the pattern of these colors were embroidered into the pattern of the material. And also there were figures of cherubims or angelic beings within this particular covering. The covering covered the holy place. It covered the Holy of Holies. And as the presenter spelled out, and as it reads in the scriptures, there were 10 individual curtains coupled together, connected together to make this covering for the interior of the tabernacle. Now we see within this initial covering the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory. That white linen picturing forth the fact that the Lord Jesus is without sin, the purity of Jesus Christ. That blue that was interwoven, blue in the scriptures speak of heaven, his origin, his abode. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. The color of purple is a color of royalty, and his position is foreshadowed within this coloring, that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. And then last but not least, scarlet or deep red, his sacrificial death, the shedding of his blood. He became a propitiation for our sins. So we have within this initial covering a foreshadow, a picture of the person of Jesus Christ in his purity, of his origin, his royalty, and of his work, his sacrificial death on the cross for our sins. Now, if we go down to verse number 7, please, that second covering that went over the top of this initial white covering that was embroidered with the various colors, note then verse 7, it reads, "And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle." 11 curtains this time. 11, not 10. Initially there were a collection of 10, but with the second covering, 11 curtains, 11 pieces of curtains connected together, made from, embroidered from goat's hair. Now these 11 curtains of goat's hair were placed over that first covering and extended down to the sides of the structure, both the back, the west, and the north, and the south. Now, in Scripture, goats were clean animals, fit for sacrifice. And so the goat sacrifice is a fitting picture that Jesus Christ qualified to be our sacrifice, because he was without sin. He became sin for us, he that knew no sin. And on that sacred day, known as the Day of Atonement, in Leviticus chapter 16, it talks about the priests taking two goats, two. One was slain, and the blood was shed, and blood was sprinkled upon the mercy seat that once a year occasion. But the other goat was led out into the wilderness and set free. So one was killed at the altar, and his blood was poured out at the base of the altar, foreshadowing the death of Christ, the spotless blood of Christ that was shed for your sin and for my sin. And the other goat had the sins of the people laid on him by the hands of the priests, as the people confessed the sins of the people. And then this goat was led out into the desert and left, never to return. And this foreshadowed for us the fact that on the one hand, Jesus Christ shed his blood. He that was without no sin died for our sin. And that other goat that was set free, never to return, is a wonderful picture of the fact that Jesus Christ carried away our sins as far as the east is from the west. Jesus Christ not only died for our sins, he offered himself fully as the ultimate clean sacrifice. So this covering of goat's hair, made out of goat's hair, pictures for us the purity and the qualification of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ was qualified to pay for your sins and for my sins. That's why the Bible teaches us, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of works, because you and I are sinful. How can we deal with our own sin? How can we redeem ourselves from that which plagues us? So therefore, God manifested in the flesh, he that was without sin became sin for us, because he qualified. And that's the essence of the goat sacrifice. That goat was a clean animal fit for sacrifice as a burnt offering. And when you think about the tabernacle structure, that below this goat's hair covering, we have the white linen covering. So because of the qualified shedding of blood of the spotless man of the spotless Son of God, you and I can be found righteous in Jesus Christ. Our salvation is complete because we have a perfect righteousness in Christ. The goat that was killed is a picture of our redemption out of the slave market of sin. The goat that was set free pictures for us that we have been set free in Jesus Christ from the penalty, power, and praise be to God one day from the presence of sin. And then we come to the third covering. If you go down to verse number 14, please, of Exodus chapter 26. So the two initial coverings are woven embroidered coverings, linen. The next two coverings are skins, leather. And the first one that is mentioned here in verse number 14 is the covering of the tent of ram's skins. The third covering of the roof of the tabernacle was made out of ram's skins. This was a leather covering. And the passage teaches us that the ram skins was tanned or dyed a deep red color. Why? Foreshadowing. It pictures our Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross, shedding his precious blood. He took the role of a substitute sinner. Now, when we think of the goat, we think of a clean animal, one that qualified to be sacrificed fully to God. When you think of the ram, the first mention of the ram in the scriptures, we think of substitute. Substitute. We are worthy of death because of our sin. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible teaches us. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ was willing to die in our place. He was our sin substitute. And that was well illustrated there in Genesis chapter 22, please. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, verse number 23, Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, Isaac. And note here in Genesis chapter 22, verse 13, it reads, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering," note this little phrase, "in the stead of his son." In the stead of his son. That's why that third covering of the tabernacle proper was made out of ram's skin. Substitute. Jesus Christ was willing to die in our place. Jesus Christ died in the place of sinners. God was true to his word, as Abraham was, who said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Isaac asked the question, "Dad, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, God will provide himself, and he certainly did. Pictured within the ram skins, the substitute, the one that was willing to die on the behalf of another. This past week, with that assassination attempt on Mr. Donald Trump, we all know of that dear man that while that shooting was taking place, he threw his wife and daughter to the ground and jumped on top of them to protect them, and he was shot dead. Willing to give his life for his wife and daughter. Wow, what a picture of substitution. The ram speaks of substitution. God provided a sacrifice, and it was a ram, the Bible teaches us in Genesis chapter 22. But also note then verse number 14, please, of Exodus chapter 26. "And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red," the Bible teaches us, "and a covering above," or the outer covering, "of badger's skins." Now within this leather covering, there was no colorful beauty within this covering, but it provided a solid exterior to protect the tabernacle. And beyond the effectiveness of protecting the tabernacle and the instruments within the tabernacle, it teaches us a valuable lesson concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. This badger skin, this leather on the exterior, was plain grayish color, plain as day, as we would say. But days are beautiful. I'm not sure how that saying makes little sense to me. But plain. And why such a plain exterior when below that you've got beautiful coloring? A wonderful picture of the fact of the Lord Jesus, foreshadowing the Lord Jesus. There was no outward attractiveness in his humanity. Note there in Isaiah chapter 53, please. Quickly, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Note what it teaches here concerning the person of this Messiah to come. In verse 2 it reads, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant," chapter 53, verse 2, "and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." So this outward piece of covering that covered the tabernacle had no visible beauty to it. Is a wonderful foreshadow or picture of the fact concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no form nor comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him. He was plain. He didn't have striking figures that was a means of drawing people under himself. In fact, the Bible teaches us he was rejected of men. There was no outward attractiveness in his humanity. And we see this illustrated, foreshadowed with this final covering over the tabernacle of badger's skin. So we see within each layer of covering, the Lord Jesus Christ is foreshadowed. His purity, his qualification to be our sin bearer, without sin, the goat's hair, then the ram's skin, our substitute, and the badger's skin. He wasn't attractive to look upon in his humanity, but praise be to God, what he accomplished is attractive and eternal and available in blessing to the whole world. So we see within each layer of covering the Lord Jesus Christ foreshadowed. That's verses 1 to 14. And then we come now to verses 15 to 30. We have the framework, the structure. We note here in verse 29 concerning the main boards that surrounded the tabernacle proper. "And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold and make their rings of gold for places for the bars. And thou shalt overlay the bars with gold." So these main boards were made of timber covered with gold. We have a combination of perishable material, that which is natural, wood, timber, and that which is not perishable, eternal gold. A reminder of the God-man, that God became flesh and dwelt among us. We see this within some of the furnishings of the tabernacle: wood, timber, interior, covered with gold. 100% God became 100% man and remained 100% God. And we see this within the structure of the framework structure of the tabernacle proper. And the Bible teaches us that these boards covered in gold were placed within silver sockets. Silver sockets were essential to holding the structure level and secure. The silver came from the redemptive price. If we had time, we would go to Exodus chapter 30. In Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 to 16, it talks about each male bringing that half a shekel towards the temple expenses. So these sockets that held the boards of timber covered with gold were made out of silver. The tabernacle boards rested in these sockets, and the curtains hung from the silver hooks over the top, picturing for us the basis of our salvation is in the person and work of Jesus Christ, in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. God had to become humanity to pay for our sin. We could not redeem our sins on our own. God had to come into the world and came in the form of humanity in order to be that ultimate sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. And just like these silver sockets of salt held these boards upright and level and secure, our redemption rests upon Jesus Christ coming into the world to save sinners. God becoming man. This was only possible through the incarnation. Our salvation fully rests in the socket, so to speak, in the socket of Jesus Christ. And our salvation rests fully in the fact that Christ has come and shed his blood for us. And God was adamant that the plan for this tabernacle was followed precisely. That there would be these boards of timber covered in gold that would rest in silver bases. So that, in essence, is the main framework. And last but not least, we come to verses 31 to 37. So verses 1 to 14, the covering of the tabernacle. Four main layers picturing for us the person of Christ. Then we've got the structure, the timber with a gold covering, resting upon a silver basis. The incarnation of Christ. And now we come to the veils. There were two veils within the tabernacle proper. You've got the inner veil that separated the holy place from the holy of holies. Note there in verse 31 and 32. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet. Note those colors once again. And fine twine linen of cunning work with cherubim shall it be made. Sounds familiar? Okay. Verse 32, and thou shalt hang it upon four pillars. So that which separated the holy place from the holy of holies, there were four pillars. The entrance into the tabernacle, holy place, five pillars. The inner veil hung between the holy place and the holy of holies, which was entered into only once a year by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. And if we go to Hebrews chapter 10, we are reminded of the fact that you and I have the privilege now in Christ Jesus to enter into the very presence of God, the Holy of Holies. Note there in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19, 22 teach us that this veil representing the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was torn in two for us, and therefore we have access into the very presence of God 24:7. Note there in Hebrews 10:19-22, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Glory be to God that we have access into the very presence of God, the Holy of Holies. This veil, this inner veil, stood between the holy place and the holies of holies. And when Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross, the Bible talks about the temple veil being torn in two, literally, illustrating for us the fact that you and I, now in the person of Christ, because of the shedding of blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, the spotless blood of Christ, the substitutionary blood of Christ, we have access into the very presence of God. So there is that inner veil that separates that place of communion with from presence. But in Christ, we can enjoy communion, fellowship, and presence. The presence of God. See, at 3 o'clock the other morning, God was very real to me. God was very real to me. He woke me up. He does it every now and again. So I've learned over the years what I need to do is to take note and pull out my Bible and start reading. And that's where I got my inspiration, as I said, for this morning's sermon and for this evening. And the Lord also gave me a verse that God will guide you to death. And I was thankful for that. God promises his guidance. And I just felt the presence of God. God was real. And beloved, that's how it should be for all of us that know Christ. It's one thing to know him as Savior, but to know of the reality of his presence. To spend time with him and know that God's real. Don't convince me, I know he's real. He lives within me. He communes within me. And when the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross, that veil that separated man from God was torn in two, and you and I this day enjoy the very presence of God. We are the very tabernacle of God. And there back in Exodus chapter 26, verses 36 and 37 is reference to the outer veil, that which led into the holy place. Note there verse 36 and 37. And thou shalt make an hanging for the door of the tent of blue, purple, scarlet, fine twine linen, wrought with needlework. And thou shalt make for the hanging 5 pillars of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold. And thou shalt cast 5 sockets. These sockets are of brass, not silver, which is interesting. Because it's from the outside you look back and there's the brazen altar. The brazen altar. And it's the point of entering into fellowship with God in the holy place. And this outer veil that led into the holy place hung across 5 pillars. This veil was visible to those before the brazen altar, that altar of sacrifice. This veil gave hope. A pathway was provided. A pathway to know God. a pathway to experience God, was beyond this brazen altar, beyond the laver, beyond those initial curtainings. Man could enter into fellowship and know the reality of God's presence. This outer veil gave hope. Jesus Christ is our hope, is he not? Through his full sacrifice on the cross, we have forgiveness and the hope of eternal life. This veil was a veil of hope. It led to God. It led to fellowship with God. It led to the presence of God. Beloved, people need hope today. You can't live without hope. That's why people take their lives. When you lose hope, you have all drive, you lose all drive to live. And yet the Bible teaches us hope is of God. God is the God of hope. And this veil, this initial veil that came after the brazen altar, came after the laver, was a picture of hope. The hope of knowing God. The hope of experiencing God. Knowing of his forgiveness. And experiencing a genuine relationship because of the gospel. The tabernacle foreshadowed the gospel and the effect of the gospel applied to a person's life. So in conclusion, from the exterior roofing, the structure, the veil, we are given insight into what is within. Because there from verses 33 to 35, it talks about the furnishings. You've got the Ark of the Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the altar of incense, verse 35, the candlestick, and the table of shewbread. The exterior covered that which was internal. The roofing pictures for us our Lord Jesus in his person. The structure pictures for us his incarnation. 100% God became man and yet remained God. And the veils, hope, a pathway to knowing God, a pathway to experiencing God. The exterior revealed what could be experienced within, foreshadowed that new life in Christ that comes via forgiveness. In closing, does your life, does my life give the evidence or foreshadows fact that we have the life of Christ, that we know Christ, and God is real? So the outside is important, you know. We have a brand of Christianity today that would say, oh, the outside doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. That's absolute rubbish. Of course it matters. It might not tell the true story. It's easy to present. But for you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior, our exterior should be the evidence of our interior, which is an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So man does look upon the outward appearance. That's all man can see. And God made man that way. Had that ever occurred to you? God purposely made man that way, that man can only see that which without, and therefore we have the privilege as God's people to reflect the God within by what people see without. And within that temple, that tabernacle structure, we see foreshadowed the person of Christ. We see his incarnation foreshadowed. And we also see the pathway to hope that we have in Christ through the veils. Your life, beloved, my life, outwardly, the way we present ourselves, the way we converse, should point to God within. People should be able to observe our exterior and note this person has something more sacred within. So that's why the exterior of the tabernacle was plain leather badger skin. Because it held that which was precious and priceless. And your life and my life, we being the temple of the Holy Ghost, I trust that your exterior, my exterior, gives evidence of the life of Christ. That we have a relationship with Christ and that we know the reality of Christ. This tabernacle structure foreshadowed, pictured the person and work of Christ. And that's the emphasis of Exodus chapter 26. And this evening, shortly, we will see Christ foreshadowed and pictured through his table. Unleavened bread and pure grape juice. We see Christ within the elements of the communion table. His body was broken. His blood was shed. These outward elements picture something deeper, something more sacred. And I trust and pray that your life, my life, though we are plain, we are just human, I trust that our life gives the evidence of something sacred within. That is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. May people see Christ in us, the hope of glory. As people entered, as those priests entered into the holy place, they experienced what the exterior represented. And as people observe your life and observe my life, do they see Christ in all his glory? Let's bow for prayer.